Freestyle Travel.
Hey, everybody. It's the Freestyle Travel Show. I'm your host, Kenny Flannery. I got some beer. And today's episode, I got an awesome guest. I got Zane Lamprey. I'm stoked. If you don't know who Zane Lamprey is, you might, actually. He's been on Drinking Made Easy, Three Sheets, shows where he went around the world drinking different booze and stuff. So it's kind of similar to me. We get into kind of how we linked up, because I've got a show called Hopping where I drink a bunch of beer and meet people, and also I make my own backpacks and he makes his own backpack, so it's just like natural. I'm like, I gotta get in touch with this guy. So I've actually been in touch with him for the past year or so. He backed my Kickstarter for Hopping, and we were finally able to meet tonight. He's doing a stand-up tour. He's a stand-up comedian as well, on top of all these other like awesome booze shows that he's been doing. And he had a show here in Reno. So this is the first chance to actually meet in person. So super cool, actually. We're backstage in between his like VIP Q&A. That's a lot of acronyms. people came early to the show to ask him questions on stage. In between that and the actual show, we're in the green room backstage and just shooting the shit, talking about stuff. So yeah, it was pretty cool, actually. I was glad to finally meet him, and he's awesome. So we're going to get into that. And after the, I don't even know if I can call it an interview, we're just chatting. After that, I'll tell you about my travels since the last episode. I'm drinking some Reno beer. We're at Record Street Brewery, but I'm drinking Revision. Also good beer. They gave me a free 4-pack the other day. But Record Street was awesome. So yeah, I'll get into all my travels and all that stuff. But without further ado, here's Zane Lamprey, buddies.
I want to introduce Kenny Flannery. Like, you guys don't know who he is. It's about Kenny. What are you talking about?
Cheers.
It's been so weird. So I'm doing this interview right before I go on stage, so I should probably end this and let him do this. Okay, go.
Yeah. On a rainy Reno day.
It's a rainy minute.
Hey, yeah. Well, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Do you need to check levels, or do you just are good? You just know?
I'm good. Okay. I know. So actually what I went to school for, and now
got it.
I hitchhike around the world. So
these are the ones that I just bought. These are the ones I was telling you about.
You know why they're so good? They record internally. So if everything screws up, we still got it. So
oh, right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, that's why I bought them.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So a little background. So I know you from Drinking Made Easy and okay. Three Sheets and just watching those shows. And then I started my show, Hopping, where I like hitchhike to breweries and drink beer.
Yeah. By the way, how long have you been doing that for? You kickstarted that.
I kickstarted it twice. So the first season, we filmed right at the end of 2019 into 2020.
Yeah.
So we barely...
How much did you guys get off the first Kickstarter?
The first Kickstarter? I'm not going to remember. But I think a few $1,000 or something. Okay. It wasn't crazy. The second one was closer to $10,000.
Okay.
Which afforded this camera was the main
expense. Nice.
Yeah.
I backed one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's actually what happened was, I think it was after the first one, I knew who you were and I'd seen your show, but then I was filming at Wilderness in Arizona and Phoenix.
With John?
No, it was this guy who ended up moving to Australia. He doesn't work there anymore.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Chase was his name.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But I saw that you were there. There was like some tweet or something that you were an event and had to do with the adventure.
So I have an apparel brand called Adventure. Yeah. ADV3NTURE. So it's like adventure with the first E is a 3 because we plant 3 trees with every purchase. And then you don't have to shoot the whole thing. Okay. I didn't know if you knew, like, okay. No, it's up to you, whatever you want to do. Sorry, I have Jesse, who just started for me. Basically, it's your, like, first day, right?
Yeah.
So he's my new audio, video. We have to come up with a title. Social media, just making sure, like, shooting, producing my podcast, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
he's joining me on this run, which is Reno, Sacramento, Santa Rosa, San Carlos, which is Palo Alto area, and then Berkeley. So, I have an apparel brand called Adventure. We plant 3 trees with every purchase. It was kind of an outdoor brand.
Yeah.
And people kept asking for Pleplius. Pleplius is this guy. Yeah. So people kept asking for stuff with him on it, to the point where we would sell, like, you know, like for every 10 t-shirts, adventure t-shirts we'd sell, yeah, we'd sell 100 Pleiplius t-shirts. We made him his own little store inside Adventure, and then that started doing better than Adventure. Like, why are we not listening? Like, you gotta...
To the market, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta read the writing on the wall. So at some point, we're just like, okay, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna be, all we did was change the name to Pleiplius. So we kickstarted it to start the company. And then we did
Your Kickstarter made like $1 million on like a super sweet
hoodie. 1.8 million, but who's counting? yes, on the Adventure hoodie, yeah, which is like a multi-purpose hoodie made for traveling and adventures. Had a lot of pockets and
koozie
other
pocket
features.
Turned yeah, into a exactly. pillow, stuff like
so,
that.
So we launched that. That kicked off the company. Then we took on investors. We have 1,500 investors that have invested anywhere from $200 to $100,000, whatever.
And those are Kickstarter backers?
No, that's an equity. It's called a Reg CF. It's a crowdfunding for equity. So rather than getting like a product, you get stock in the company.
Gotcha.
So we have 1,500 investors.
Actual investors.
That we needed to kind of tell them, hey, I know you guys invested in Adventure, but now it's called Pleiplius, and just trust us, this is the right move
to
do.
So you're still going to make the hoodie, you make a backpack.
We still make all the stuff. It's just now we have the monkey logo instead of the Adventure logo. And we have it... if you saw out there, Pleiplius booth used to be the Adventure booth. Now we have Pleiplius, and so we have Trent out there who is at the booth. Because we're an online company, people get to actually put their hands on things and see how nice like our backpacks and our jackets and stuff like that. So
the backpack and the hoodie, those are the two main like innovative products. Because I mean, you're wearing a t-shirt with the logo.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So the backpack, the hoodie. And then we have our jacket, so our Cascade Windbreaker.
Gotcha.
That is made from recycled water bottles.
This is what kind of put it over the top. Like, I wanted to meet you finally. Because I designed another Kickstarter I designed a backpack that turns into a bivy tent. Like, the frame of the backpack becomes tent poles.
Okay.
And I was like,
have you made it?
I made it. I did a Kickstarter. I made not a ton of them, over 100. I've sewn them all myself, which is a mistake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah. It took months to make 100.
You've sewn them all yourself?
Yeah.
On an industrial sewing machine?
In a garage in Mississippi this time of year.
How long did it take to make one?
If I were to sit down and make one at a time, it'd be like 15 hours or so. But I was, I was making all the straps one day and then all the bottoms one day and just pulling my hair out. Because I've been living out of my backpack for 15 years, traveling around the world. So for me to stay in one spot for like a month.
Do you have a picture of this thing or a video?
Yeah, I can show you.
Is it being used as our, I can show
you.
That camera is actually his phone. Okay. All right. I want to see that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How many did you sell on Kickstarter?
On Kickstarter, it was like 60 or 70, but I was like, all right, I might as well make 100 just to buy stuff in bulk.
Got it.
So I sold one the other day. Just like, I don't market it too much.
What we're doing right now, what do they sell for?
$350.
Okay.
And it's super ultra light, so it weighs less than a pound. So people who are like hiking the PCT, it's crazy.
It weighs less than a pound.
And it's a backpack.
It's a backpack that holds stuff.
Yeah.
You take the stuff out and then it becomes a tent.
Yeah, I could potentially give it to you, and then you wouldn't know it turned into a tent unless I told you. Like,
But I will know that there's like a rigid part to it because they're the poles.
Which is the frame of the backpack, you'd have anyways. Now it's sort of the...
It weighs less than a pound?
It's like 15 ounces and 15.8 ounces or something. Yeah, that was kind of the whole point.
I think even my... So my backpack, I have a small backpack and a big backpack that attach together. And I came up with this when I was in Rome on my honeymoon, and our flight was late getting in. We go and check in, and my wife had booked a tour around Rome, which was amazing. I don't usually do like tours, but she wanted to do it, and ended up with me crying when I saw the forum, because I was like, this is the most amazing, the tour. Whenever you go to a city, take the tour. Like, if you go to a foreign city and you can do a walking tour, just take it. It will change your experience. And so we get to the hotel, and the tour was meeting in our lobby, and they were like ready to go. And we were running in, check in, bring the stuff up, and it was like early fall. So it was like warm, but it was like an hour and a half tour, and by the end of the tour, it was me cold. but I didn't want my jacket, so I had to take a backpack and put stuff in it that I thought I might need.
Right.
Our wallets, our passport, our camera, all that kind of shit. So I had to dump my bag on the bed and then repack it and whatever. So I came up with a backpack, a small backpack that clips onto a big backpack.
Yeah.
So when you get to where you're going, you unclip the small one. It takes 10 seconds, boom, 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 it's in 5 seconds, it's done. And then you put it on and you go. And then your computer or whatever else you want to keep in your hotel room or wherever it is just stays there.
That's one on PleatPleas.com, it's the same one.
Yeah, exactly. That's on PleatPleas.com. Gotcha. And so,
which that probably weighs like 4 pounds or something.
I think it's like 2.5. I know because I've weighed them. But my point is that the small one weighs more than a pound.
Yeah,
and it's one of the lightest backpacks on the market. So I got yours.
Well, that's also why it's $350. I use like the lightest materials I could possibly find. I even made a lighter version out of this like crazy fabric, but only like psychos get it. And shout out to those psychos because
that's crazy. Oh, so you've sold it to people?
Yeah, I've sold probably about 100 of them.
And you you have to be like an amazing sewer.
I had to learn on the fly.
Seamster.
Yeah. I guess that's. I'm not a seamstress. Seamster.
No, you're a seamster, sir.
Seamster.
That's crazy. Okay, that's amazing.
But that was the other reason when I saw that you were doing that. I was like, all right, this guy is on TV drinking, making backpacks and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We might be the only two people in the world that have that in common.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Get on film and drink and make backpacks. So I was like,
But I couldn't sew to save my life. I took a sewing class, and I think I probably ended up with like more holes in my hands than I did usable items. But... I was doing my stuff overseas, and then I changed to U.S. manufacturing.
Yeah.
And I want to tell people, I wish I could say that that was like an amazing experience bringing the work back to the U.S.
Yeah.
But the fact remains, anyone who knows anything will confirm that this is true. The infrastructure does not exist. The professionals, the expert seamsters, the seamstresses, the sewers are not here anymore. And it was a painful process. I went in there with my jacket, my adventure hoodie, and said, I want to make this. And they go, this is too complicated.
This would cost
$120 to make.
Yeah.
But we don't even have the technology to make certain aspects of this. And so we need to remove this, we can't do this, we have to use this zipper.
It becomes some generic whatever.
And it was still called the adventure hoodie, but it had the side pockets and then a welted pocket here for your beer and then a passport pocket, and that was it. Hmm. And it cost way more to make. So, and they were so late on delivering, it's criminal, to be honest with you.
Wow.
And so, I mean, like, they were supposed to deliver on like October 15th and they weren't done until the following September.
That's brutal. Cause that's all on you too. Like who are waiting for it.
What can I say? Yeah. I can't really blame others. The buck stops with me. And of course I owned up to it, but I'm like, I really wish it wasn't the situation. So now we make our stuff overseas because the infrastructure is there. Hi.
Do you see your salad?
Yeah, I started eating it, and then I do this, and I'm going to finish it. But thank you. It's delicious.
Sure.
Yeah, all good. Thank you.
So what I learned, too, with this process, because people are always like, oh, U.S. manufacturing.
When
I
started selling... Sorry, I'm interrupting. Yeah. But people know that we're backstage.
No, we didn't even set that up.
Sorry, let's set this up. We're backstage. I'm doing stand-up in Reno at a brewery called Record Street Brewing. And the stage is right out there. And they have a huge, beautiful venue, performance venue, and then right next door,
incredible.
Attached, is the brewery and the restaurant. And so we're in the green room, and the show starts in a few minutes. I mean, I don't know.
That's like
15 minutes.
The coolest thing of your tour, too, is just all breweries. You're probably the first person to give
that a
shot.
I have not come across. I would say definitively. Wait, did we finish the other thing about the U.S. manufacturer?
Oh, I was just going to say, when I started selling my backpacks, like almost half of them were going to Thailand, Germany, Australia, wherever. And I'm like, so why does it matter if they're made in the U.S.? This is a global product. Like, people want them all over the... Vietnam is probably the most efficient,
Vietnam
responsible
is,
place
is
to make
where
backpacks.
I make my backpacks. Did you know that? Yeah.
I did not
Vietnam has some of the best manufacturing for backpacks. And there's reasons, but they do an incredible job. China You can also get them made there. At the end of the day, the fabric that you use in Vietnam is coming from China anyway. There was a guy that was gonna make my bags, and he was gonna make them in Vietnam, and the conversation ended with this conversation. He said, we can say they're made in the US. He goes, I make golf bags made in the US. I have one company make the plastic insert. I have another company make the fabric part of the bag.
You tie a bow around it in the US.
Literally, yeah. Brings it to a place in North Carolina, puts them in four screws on the top, and then he puts made in the USA. I'm like, yeah. we're done.
You know there's a Pittsburgh, China, so they could say made in Pittsburgh.
Really?
I forget how that whole story goes, but that's gist of it.
Okay, yeah. That's amazing. Made in Pittsburgh, China.
Made in Pittsburgh.
but about the tour, I think this is show 167. This is my second time doing this brewery.
That's awesome. You played here before.
We played here. Yeah, I signed a brick right above the door.
Oh,
so I know because it says, I think it says November 11th. Oh, shit. 11/11/21. So we shot it in, 11/11/21. So about what? 10 months ago?
Okay.
And no, they're. There are breweries that have stand-up, but there's not like any tour that's moving through. But I don't know anyone else who could really do that because...
Or why they would. It wouldn't be their like brand, if you want to call
that.
That
would be the thing, yeah.
Like,
it's like...
A it lot seems of like times, a hassle. I talked to, is it Trent?
Yes, the tour manager. Yeah.
And I was just bullshitting with him about like different breweries in Florida.
Why were you
like,
bullshitting? Why were you not being real?
It was real bullshit.
Oh, okay, got it. Oh, yeah. Shit, wow.
Because I've been to... I don't know, over 1,000 breweries. I went to 75 breweries in Florida like last year. I know you're playing there. But then I started thinking in my head, like my favorite breweries, I'm like, could you do stand up in there? Maybe for like 10 people.
Right.
And so that's like, got to be the hardest part.
I just had an interview with Las Vegas Weekly, the newspaper and the website. And I was, because I have a show there on August 12th, Friday, August 12th. Will this come out before then?
This might come out tomorrow.
Guys.
Yeah.
Oh, tomorrow?
Possibly.
Yeah, then yes. So I'm doing House of Blues. That's one of only three venues. There's two improvs in Southern California and then one House of Blues. Everything else besides that is a brewery. But I was telling him that I was in Washington, D.C. 3 weeks ago, and it was 94 degrees out. And we had such a big crowd, we couldn't fit in their tap room, their tasting room. We had to do it in the brew house, which had plenty of space.
Yeah.
But it was so hot. We try not to have that happen. And if it does happen, we'll put that on like the description of the show.
Let people know ahead of time.
But we want people to be comfortable.
Yeah.
We've done a bunch of outdoor shows. Every show that I did in Florida. When I was there in June. Now I did Florida in June because it was the only state that was wide open because from COVID.
Right.
And they're just like, ignored it. And we went sailed through, and then when we were done, then it got hit hard.
I was
hard.
There in Tampa when they won the Super Bowl, and it was like the first time I'd been back in a bar, and everyone was just like shoulder, it was like, I forget the name of the bar, Ferg's or something, there was like 1,000 people there.
Yeah,
like,
oh, okay. and everyone got COVID.
Yeah.
And so when we were there in June, which you don't necessarily want to do a tour of Florida in June. It rained every single day. And we were there for 2 weeks. Wow. And there was one show which was outdoors. There was a bunch that were outdoors. Most we were able to have indoors. But there's one at Ivanhoe Park Brewing in Orlando, which you probably went to.
I'm not sure if I have.
They were supposed to get tents, and then we showed up, and they didn't have tents. Like we think the weather, and they're like, we think the storm's gonna pass us. And I looked. I always have my weather app, and I even took video of this. Here was the brewery, and the clouds were like this, and they were just circling. They were going like this, and I'm like, what is gonna happen? Like it looked like it, and then over here it's dissipating. And so we go up there. We did the show, and about halfway through the show, the heavens opened, and it dumped, and. There were tents around the outside. This was about 350 people.
Yeah.
And nobody left. They were all hiding under tents. And then on the stage was on the loading dock. It was covered. So everyone was up there. And I was like, I'm not going to be up here covered when some people are staying in their seats. So I took my mic and I went out and finished the show in the rain in the audience. And it was amazing. I wish that it was all on video. I mean, we have some photographs of it, but like...
Yeah, I'm sure some people snuck their phone out or something.
Yeah, yeah. There's good photos. There's probably video. I don't know. But again, that's kind of like people were there because I have a national brand, right? So I can go into a city like here and I don't have to be local to be able to fill it up.
Right.
And then anybody who's a comedian is probably going to comedy clubs. There's over 100 comedy clubs in the U.S.
Yeah.
And so they're probably just doing that because that's just the way that it's done. For me, when I was starting to book this, the comedy clubs were not open. We're not booking yet. So I was like, all right, let me just do breweries. And we started having conversations with like AZ Wilderness, which we talked about before. And when I was at AZ Wilderness, when you brought it up before, that's when I was doing my equity raise to get investors for Adventure. So I wasn't doing stand-up.
That's what
I was
remember
telling
seeing.
Stories.
That was my first, like...
You were there?
No, but I think that's when I was going back and forth with them about going to film. And
got
then
it.
I saw that, and I was like, oh, shit, you do that too?
Man, you got to talk to John Buford if you ever go back there.
Yeah.
He's one of the owners. He's a character.
They're one of these spots in Phoenix. If you bring up like, oh, I'm filming at breweries in Phoenix, they're like, oh, AZ Wilderness. Like,
you know how you know when a brewery is crushing it? And by the way, there's this long debate about, I don't think it's even a debate, but it should be a debate. It's like people are like, someone asked me on stage one time, what state makes the best beer? And I was like, do you not understand how arbitrary your question was? And by the way, they didn't understand.
Okay.
I was like, it's not even what city makes the best beer, or even necessarily what brewery makes the best beer, because there's so many breweries out there that are crushing it, making amazing beer.
Yeah.
I can't say that, oh, this one by far makes the best beer. This beer is fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know how it could be better. You know what I mean? Like, it's very good beer.
And the knowledge is the brewery industry, unlike any other industry, is communal, and they'll share knowledge.
That's
like,
right.
A lot of breweries will straight up say, this is our recipe.
Yeah, that's right.
You want a homebrew?
Or if another brewery runs out of hops across town, it's not like, screw you. They're like, I will run some hops over to you. I got you. There's no other industry. I challenge someone to tell me another industry that's like that. But,
I thought about the same thing. Because it's porn? Like brewery districts.
Maybe porn is like that.
Porn?
I think porn is like that, and maybe church.
Church.
I don't know.
I guess, I can't see churches like competing.
I mean, church, what does that mean? Church?
Church, like, oh, you ran out of wine?
Yeah, I got Sacramento wine. Bro, I got you. I will bring the Sacramento wine over.
No, I bring that up all the time, and when I do the show, that's what I love. Like, because breweries do collaborations. You'll never see, like, lawyers like, oh, we're going to collaborate on this case. Like,
again, porns. Churches, no. Porns, they will collaborate.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. I don't want it to be.
So when you come to a brewery like this, like, you can probably drink only so many beers, and you're not on camera, so you're not on pressure. Like, I rewatched some of your, just in the past week, like, you know, sometimes.
Which one, like, what did you watch?
The Switzerland one.
Okay. Oh, Four Sheets,
yeah.
Yeah,
I watched some of those. I hadn't seen those ones before.
Yeah, that was for a channel called Drink TV, which came out on September 1st. 2018 or 19, and went off the air September 12th of the same year. The network was on for 12 days.
God damn.
And we're just like, it's not a long story. They convinced me to do it because they said, look, we have a 2-year run rate, which means we have enough money to fund this, even if we make $0 for 2 years. I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
People don't realize this, but they don't have to realize this, the magic of TV, that for an episode, it probably takes us about a month of pre-production, takes us about 4 or 5 days to shoot, and takes about 6 weeks of post-production, just the editing, the sound, the music, the graphics, the animations that I was put in
really
there.
I was really impressed by rewatching the episodes, the graphics alone,
because
I'm just like, I watched something that lasts like 4 seconds on camera. I'm like, fuck, that took all day.
I mean, and they all take a long time, and so even to make the 6 episodes for Four Sheets, that was genuinely 9 months of my life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the network goes off the air, and you're just like, okay, that sucks, but you know, you got
people can watch it for free. I just watch
you
it.
Can,
for free.
You can. You can. They're not supposed to. I mean, but they can't. If you go to ZaneLamprey.com and you click on Four Sheets, you can watch the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it was actually back to what I was saying about getting pressured. Maybe it was a Costa Rica episode where you're drinking, what is it called? Like their
Guaro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I don't know if it's the editing, but it looks like you just are slamming back so many shots of this stuff.
Yeah, so I we would shoot for about 4 days, and I had what we call the hero night. And the hero night was when, you know, Christina was usually the producer, or Bert, and they're just like, hey, this is going to be the one. I'm like, okay. Because I was like, I can't give you... Sometimes I would accidentally give two hero nights, but most of the time is like you get one night where I'm going balls to the wall.
So the main thing about hero night is you have a loungy morning, or like nothing to film the next day.
A late morning. That's exactly right. Exactly right. They go. I go. What time's the shoot tomorrow? They say 3. I go. Okay, this can be ours because I don't want to hold back. I want to see where this train's going. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of trains.
Yeah, we got.
And so yeah, we do that, and then so that Guaro episode, yeah, that was definitely a hero night. We knew that walking in, and sometimes there's just not a lot going on. Like, it's not instructive, right? Like, we're going to go to a cool beach bar. What are we going to do? They're like, I don't know. They got some beers. They have some cocktails. They have some Guaro. There's another one in, like, St. Martin where that was, like, a place called the Dinghy Dock. And okay. It was, I don't remember the deal, but you paid a certain amount, I want to say, like, $5 or $7, and you poured your drink. You put as much rum in it as you want, and you put as much Coke as you want, and there's different options, like whatever. And so you pour it yourself. And so that's what it was. And so we knew that that was also going to be. So there's a lot of those. In Prague, we went to the Absinthe bar. I think that was the start of it. And then we went out to another place afterwards, and you can tell that I'm a little lit in that one.
Well, yeah, and people want to be just so generous. Like, you're in their brewery, their bar, whatever, and they're just like, want to here. They don't know what you did earlier, what you plan on doing later. They're just like...
And I want to make it an amazing experience for the viewers. My job is to entertain the viewers, and every episode has to have that water cooler moment, something about it. By the way, they're going to bring my opener up. Not me.
Yeah.
and so... I want to make sure that we have, that whatever happens is amazing, you know? Yeah. And so I'm going to throw myself into it because I don't care if I feel like shit tomorrow. If we got an amazing scene, that lives on forever. Costa Rica, I probably shot that 12 years ago and we're talking about it. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
And that's why I did that. My buddy, Steve McKenna, who came in and joined me for a few episodes of Three Sheets, but then definitely... And drinking Medeasy, he was it for every episode. He was the opposite. Whenever
I still remember
tough,
him chugging that beer at Stone Brewery, and the dude getting so pissed.
Greg Cook, did you interview Greg for your show?
I've never met him, but I just know I'm aware of him.
Yeah.
The Sapporo thing.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we're nearing.
Because I don't want to be like competing with him.
The last thing I just want to ask is, are you gonna? And you kind of alluded to it. You might do another show similar to that.
I'm always talking about doing another show. So I did my stand up.
Yeah.
My TV special will come out probably around Christmas, and I'm hoping that lights the fire, the flame, to get another show going. People see the popularity of that.
Yeah.
So we're definitely always having those conversations. You know, right now I'm on this tour because we can do these shows, and then, you know, I'm booked solid until December. Then I'll shoot my second comedy special, and then we'll start planning the next year, and then also try to figure out if we work out a TV show and that component as well. So
hell yeah,
that's always
looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thanks for sitting down.
I will thank you for hitchhiking from Wyoming.
Yeah,
it's fucking amazing.
Slept in the desert in Winnemucca. It was worth it.
You slept out in the desert.
Yeah, right off.
In your special tent or no?
In my special tent.
Do you have it with you? You're going to show me?
Yeah, I can show you.
Okay. Wait, is it right there?
It's right
there. Yeah, grab
right
there. Grab it.
Yeah.
keep rolling. This is the bag that you made?
This one is a prototype that only I have, and I need to make a new one. But this one was cool because it's a backpack.
Here, let me show them because you can see the light back there. So this.
Yeah. And this one's like a specialty one just for me.
And these are the tent poles.
Yeah, so this one actually is super quick.
Oh my God.
And just like that, it's a tent. So my head is up here. And that keeps my feet are down there.
And then this is propped up so that you don't have something on your face.
It's not right on my face.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Keeps the bugs out, keeps the rain out. And then I have a jacket that becomes a fly.
Okay. Yeah. That's amazing. That's incredible. All right, go enjoy the show. Thank you guys very much for watching this episode. Until next time, I'm Zane Lamprey. This is Kenny G.
Cheers, everybody.
Kenny G, Kenny F.
Yep. Thanks, man.
You got it.
All right. That was Zane Lamprey. That was so cool. Right after, immediately after that interview, he got on stage and did a stand-up act, which I've never seen. I've seen him on the shows. I forget how much of this we mentioned, but he's on Drinking Made Easy, Three Sheets. Four Sheets is probably, I guess, the most recent show he did, which is also like the same kind of format, going to places and drinking, which you can watch all those episodes for free on ZaneLamprey.com. But I've seen some of those shows, but it was cool to actually see his stand-up. And Nick Jerry, his opening act, also cool. I talked to him afterwards. Super cool. I wanted to get into more of that with him, just as far as, how are you guys getting around? Like, obviously, Zane lives in L.A., so, they fly out for a show or set of shows, but I was curious, they're not hitchhiking. what are you doing in between shows? And I guess they kind of do is they rent a car. Makes sense. So I think tomorrow they'll be driving to Sacramento and on to the next show. And hotel rooms and stuff. Wanted to get into that more. But it was cool just talking to Nick and hearing about that. I always thought there's a similarity or... I don't know, something I feel with stand-up comedians. I don't meet a lot of stand-up comedians, but I always feel that I get a sense that they have this sort of sense that I have, which is kind of unique about people and places. Like, they come to Reno and they know a little bit about what Reno's about. I live out of my backpack. I'm not getting on stage doing stand-up comedy, but I've got a real good sense of the country that I realize not a lot of people have, except for stand-up comedians. They are a unique perspective that I share, and it's kind of cool. Something I'd like to dig into a little bit more, maybe the next time I talk to Zane or the next comedian, because not a lot of people do what we do. Maybe to a certain extent, flight attendants, maybe? I don't even know. But actually travel regularly in a... sort of have a sense for the country, the world. So that was cool. So Zane Lamprey, hope you guys enjoyed that. Let me catch you guys up on my travels. I'm lounging right now. I'm at the El Dorado, which is kind of crazy because I'm way up high. I'm in room 777. How nuts is that? The girl liked me when I checked in, so she gave me room 777, which is obviously she did on purpose, but did not work out. I've lost most of my money since I've been here, so including the few beers that I got at the venue tonight, I'm down to, if I shook all my piggy banks, maybe $30. That's a little brutal, but I'm gonna be okay. I got a beer now. I got a free 4-pack from Revision. So since the last episode, I was in Wyoming. And I had gone to Wyoming to go to my mom's wedding. She's gotten married for the third time. Summertime, my mom's probably getting married. Love you, Mom. It was awesome, though. She got married in front of the Teton Mountain Range. It was incredible. A small group of people there, maybe 20, 30 people. Absolutely beautiful. So I was hanging at her house. She's a camp ambassador up at Curtis Canyon outside of Jackson. So I kind of had the house to myself. I was finishing editing the Hopping show on YouTube, which is done, season 2. You can watch the whole season. I think it's 14 episodes, what it came out to. Absolutely awesome. And what's cool is I got more episodes banked, so I'm not going to do seasons anymore. Maybe I'll do another season eventually, but I think I'm going to do these one-off episodes. So the next episode will be coming out in the next week. And just for you guys, I'll tell you, it's going every brewery in Mississippi in 24 hours. Y'all are the first to know. Well, whatever. It's going to be a good one, really good one. So I was there doing that, there for the wedding, hanging out, going to Jackson Breweries. There's going to be a Hopping episode about Jackson Breweries and stuff. But pretty mellow, you know. A little hitchhiking back and forth between Alpine and Jackson. And then finally, yeah, I wasn't sure where I was going to go next. But Zane Lamprey was kind of the impetus to come to Reno. Because I kept looking at his tour schedule. Like, wonder when I'm actually going to cross paths with this guy. And I saw, oh, Reno, Sacramento. And I was kind of thinking ahead in this direction. So I'm like, all right, this is perfect. So a few days ago, I hit the road. I left Alpine, Wyoming, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna hitchhike to Reno. But I was like antsy, ready to go. So I left a little earlier, and I'm like, what's between Alpine, Wyoming, and Reno? Something interesting. Because if you're just gonna drive between the two, that's like 10 hours. And hitchhiking, that's like 2 days. There's some hitchhiking knowledge for you, if you don't know. I usually 5-6 hours hitchhike. It depends how straight of a shot things are, but in my head I knew that'd be like 2 days, but I gave myself 3 days. And Boise was kind of the only thing that came to mind as far as in between. Yeah, I could have like shot down to Salt Lake, but that would have been out of the way. Even Boise was a little bit out of the way, but anything else is like not super exciting if you know the route, Idaho. So I'm like, I'll go to Boise. So sure enough, I was correct, and I got to Boise in a day. I hitched. It was 6 rides to get there. All good rides. Finally, somebody dropped me off right downtown, and I was like, why don't I go to Barbarian Brewing? And then I met this woman, Stacy. She has this Boise Beer Buddies membership program, and she saw one of my hopping videos. That's how I'm in touch with her at all. She saw one of the hopping videos, and I'm pretty sure that's how we got in touch. And she's like, if you're ever in Boise, like, drop by, let's get a beer, and I'll give you a membership. So I was like, cool. And the membership is, if you're around Boise, or even Reno, you sign up for this membership, and you basically get discounts at, like, all the good breweries and beer bars, like $1 off or 20% off, whatever it is. And, yeah, it's like a why not situation. So I went to Barbarian Brewing, hit her up. She coincidentally was nearby, so we linked up, drank some beers there, and she played like beer tour guide for me. It was awesome. We ended up going to several breweries. Fuck, now I'm like hoping I remember the names of all of them. There's Twisted something brewery that was really cool, and Idlewild. That's the one I really wanted to remember. It was this younger couple who I guess owns the place. The dude's the brewer. Maybe she helps brew too, I'm not sure, but super cool. And we were there like right when they were about to close, but the people there were awesome, like patrons, other customers, so cool. The beer was good too, like dude knew what he was doing, and that's the important thing. I think the vibe maybe is even more important, but the beer's gotta be good. They had both, so. Yeah, so we probably ended up going to like 4 or 5 breweries, and then I crashed at her place for the night, so that was convenient. I wasn't sure what I was going to do that night. I mean, I got it, my tent, the weather's good, so I wasn't really too worried about it, but obviously that's even easier. So she dropped me off at the highway in the morning, and it's like, all right, I got 2 days to get to Reno, and I probably could have gotten to Reno that day, but it's like, why would I show up here with nowhere to stay? Just because it's fucking Reno. It's, you know, city, so I'd just be wandering around and trying to stay up in the casino. So I ended up getting a nice ride to Winnemucca on I-80 after a couple other rides. Dude, it was hot that day. Take a sip of beer, just think about how hot it was. 107 degrees. And I'm usually like, I don't know, I'm okay with it, but I think just like so hungover, I borderline blacked out the night before, slept into like noon, 1 o'clock, like roasted. You know, just gonzo. And then in the 107 heat, I was just like, I was losing it. I got picked up by one girl that day and her daughter. It took me to Sonic. Dude, I couldn't even believe it. I hadn't eaten in like a day, and she offered me food and stuff. I'm like, I just want a big cup of water. She's like I also got a cup of lemonade just to be polite. Like, I should have gotten food. She was so nice, her and her daughter. And but yeah, So then she dropped me off at a gas station at the edge of Nampa, which is next to Boise, and I just sat there like a bum, like in the shade next to the gas station, these two giant cups, one of water, one of lemonade. I sat there for like 45 minutes just like getting my composure, which is like unusual for me. Usually I just soldier through, but I was like, I need to move a little bit. So chugged all the water, all the lemonade, and yeah, got one short ride. And then this guy, yeah, he was going to Winnemucca, worked for like a chemical plant down there. And just before sunset, he dropped me off at Winnemucca. And I kind of thought, should I keep pitching to Reno? But like, I did not want to show up to Reno at night, tired as fuck. Like, so what I did was I slept in the desert. That was a better move. Just like right off the highway, found like a hidden spot. Pulled out my bivy, and you saw me pull out the bivy earlier. Yeah, and just slept there. It was a good night. It was warm. And yeah, rolled down the hill in the morning. And how many rides did I get? Two. I thought I was going to get one ride to Reno, honestly. Especially when a truck finally stopped, an 18-wheeler. I was like, oh, for sure this fucker is going to Reno. Or Sacramento or California, elsewhere. And now he was going to Fernley. It's like 20, 30 miles before Reno. I'm like, really, dude? But it was cool. He was awesome. He's from Moldova. Born in Russia, but lived in Moldova. Lived in Vegas for the last 5 years, driving trucks. Just a chill dude, about my age. Yeah. Dropped me off there. I'm like, all right, one more ride. Got the ride real quickly. It was this awesome girl. Fuck, I know, I'm going to remember. So she was going to Reno to catch a flight to go to Gen Con, which is like a board game conference. And she's like invented her own board game, but mostly she like volunteers for these other board games. And I wish I could remember. I know I remember. Boop. So I guess this doesn't come out maybe for another month if you're watching this in real time, August 2022. But Boop, it's like a, and I guess she told me, I was like, where can I find it? Where can I tell people to like, she's like, everywhere, like anywhere games are, Boop. So it's a game about like cats and you're trying to like knock kittens off and like get three kittens together to make a cat. I don't know. It sounded like nerdy and fucking cool. So I was like, all right. I gotta remember that. And her own game that she came out with, I can't remember, I'm sorry, Brext or something like that. But I was like, this is very cool. This is a cool ride. And she dropped me off right here at El Dorado. So those of you who know me, been watching this show for a long time, know that I have a history of being a degen gambler, which gets me free rooms from time to time. Goes in waves over the years. I'm riding the wave right now. Yeah, so I got a free room for a few nights here at El Dorado, knowing I'd be doing the thing with Zane, at Record Street Brewery. And, yeah, it was so cool. This girl dropped me off right in front of the casino. So checked in and here I am and I got some beer. Super stoked. So I came in here and, I wasn't sure if I'd gamble or not, but fucking awesome girl at the front desk checked me into room 777, and she said on purpose. I looked down, I was like, is that my room number? She's like, yeah, I did that on purpose for you. I guess it's because we were bantering back and forth. And yeah, I was like, I'm down to like a few hundred bucks in my life, which is serviceable. You know, I can get by in $300, but I'm like, maybe I should try to up this to 5 or 6, and then I really got nothing to worry about for a couple months. That was dumb. So, yeah, I lost a couple $100 right away. So I'm down to like $100 and change, which is still nice. I was even able to get a bunch of like all-you-can-eat sushi. I didn't eat for like 2 days while I was hitchhiking, which is like kind of unusual for me. You'd probably think, like, even if you watch this channel or listen to this podcast a lot, maybe that happens a lot. But usually I don't go, like, 2 full days, like, 50-plus hours without eating. But I did, so all-you-can-eat sushi and Yeah, I was hanging around. And yeah, then last night I walked over to Revision Brewery, which is a shout out to them because they actually gave me a 4-pack of beer on the way out. They're like, like what you're doing, like the show hopping and stuff, and like, fuck yeah. I was like, oh damn, that's like borderline celebrity treatment. I was stoked. But by the time I got back to the room, I was like, what if I could take 100 of my 140 bucks and come up in the world and be like a $300 heir? So fuck that up. I lost 100 bucks last night, so I was down to 40 bucks. Yeah, so I went and recorded what you just saw with Zane, and obviously while I was there, I got a few beers, so now I'm down to like 20-ish dollars, so I potentially got some money coming in. Not super worried, and you know, money comes out of the air, and by that I mean like, I could meet someone tomorrow who's like, help me do this, and I'll give you 100 bucks, like, that happens. But it does mean I can't really go to a brewery and get 2 or 3 beers with 20 bucks. Like, yeah. So I gotta be careful for a day or two or a week or two. Luckily I've got a bunch of food. I've got some tuna. I've got some Ritz crackers and a jar of peanut butter over there. So like, as long as I'm not stupid, I should be good. But I'm stoked. After meeting Zane today and just seeing how cool he was and the crew that he was with, like, that was awesome. So yeah, that's where I'm at. That's how I'm freestyle traveling. And I got tonight obviously in this room, which is cool. I'm probably the only person staying at the El Dorado who's like down to 20 bucks, has a jar of peanut butter, and is gonna walk to the highway and stick their thumb out tomorrow. I'm definitely the only person who fits that description. But I think I'm going to go to Sacramento. I just got a text from Aaron. What's up, Aaron? Maybe I'll be watching this with you. You son of a bitch. Aaron let me lose all my money last night. I texted him specifically. No. I texted him every step of the way. I went down there with 100 bucks, and I was like, dude. He's like, don't do it. And I was like, dude, I'm going to get up to 200, and I'll text you. And I got up to 200 right away. Playing blackjack, and he's like, walk away. And I was like, cool story, dude. And then just lost all my money because I'm an asshole. But I'm still alive. That's cool. So that's it, you guys. Take a breath, take a sip of beer. Yeah, I guess I should mention with all that shit, like, y'all get on the Patreon if you want to. Actually, that's what I said, like, there's some stuff coming. I'm about to get a Patreon check, which isn't a ton, but any of you guys listening, watching, you can get on my Patreon. I think it's patreon.com/Kenny Flannery. I post some, like, bonus content on there. Everything from my beer show to this extra pictures. I post all the normal stuff, too, like, podcasts and stuff. It's basically just a way to, like, support me, throw me $6 a month, throw me $20 a month, whatever you want to do. If you give a shit, you can get on Patreon. And I'm going to stay away from Vegas and Reno for a while, so I won't be throwing the money away. It'll actually be going towards beer, like a good gentleman. Yeah, or you can get on the website and click the Amazon link and do all that stuff. But yeah, you guys, I'm feeling extra good. I'm feeling great. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And yeah, I basically just decided right before I got on here that I'll probably go to Sacramento tomorrow. I have no idea what I'm going to do after that, beyond that. I've got ambitions, dreams, but I'm just going to let the road do what it does. It's always the best decision. And just have the stuff in the back of my mind. Central America, Argentina, Chile, maybe trimming weed later this year. Maybe not. I don't know. That's the beauty of the way I chose to live life, is just letting things happen. So, fucking A, you guys. Cheers. Drink some beer. And I will see you down the road. The
shit straight, I'll get my big break.